பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாசம் தத்தோ ஜயமுதீரயேத் நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, Text 4.
Tad Deva Helanam Tasya Anyachinadrusha Tad Deva Helanam Tasya Dharmalikam Sureshwarah அலக்ஷதரசாபீதா தச்சிர்ஷாண்யச்சினத்ருஷா தத்தேவ ஹேலனம் தஸ்ய தர்மாலிகம் சுரேஷ்வரஹ அலக்ஷதரசாபீதா சிர்ஷாண்யச்சினத்ருஷா.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven Indra understood that Vishwarupa was secretly chanting the demigods but was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons, and in great anger at Vishwarup, he cut Vishwarup's 3 heads from his shoulders. We'll read on till we come to a verse with a purport. Thereafter, the head Somapitam tuyattasya shira asit kapinjalaha kalavinka surapitam annadam yatsattitirihi. Thereafter, the head meant for drinking somaras was transformed into a kapinjala, a Franklin partridge. Similarly, the head meant for drinking wine was transformed into a kalavinka, sparrow, and the head meant for eating food became a titti, common partridge. Brahmahatyam anjalina jagraha yad apishvaraha samvatsarante tad agham bhutanam savishuddhaye bhumyambudruma yoshidbhyash chaturdha vyabhajad hari. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a brahmana, he repentantly accepted the burden of his reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year. And then, to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for this sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. Bhumisturiyam jagraha khatapura varenavai irinam brahmahatyaya rupam bhumau pradrishyate. In return for King Indra's benediction that ditches in the earth would be filled automatically, the land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a brahmana. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. Purport. Because deserts are manifestations of the earth's disease condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in the desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of brahmahatya, the killing of a brahmana. Vandeham. Seeking the blessings of all Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas assembled here, especially His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj and Malati Mataji. Maharaj was supposed to give class,
but then he has jet lag. And I'm wondering why is worsening his jet lag by sitting here and listening to me. But anyway, since his presence is auspicious, I hope what I speak will at least purify me. So, as we begin this ninth chapter, the appearance of the demon Vritrasura. If you may recall, the sixth canto begins with Parikshit Maharaj's request that what he heard in the third canto, the realm of Swayambhuva Manu, he wants to hear it again, vistarena, with some more details. And this is the inquisitiveness, this is the eagerness to hear more, which is really very encouraging. And we find that Shukdev Goswami time and again congratulates Maharaj Parikshit for keeping the matter fresh. So he agrees to expand more about the way in which a manu or an administrator, he handles the functions of a universe. Then the question comes that since you have described Narakas, hellish planets, where are they? Are they in the universe, outside the universe? What exactly is their address? So he says they are right in the universe, at the bottom, southern side. And then Parikshit Maharaj, being a Vaishnav, he says, what can be done to save people who are bound for existence in these hellish planets? So then the glorification of the holy name, story of Ajamil. At the end of Ajamil's story, there is a mention of Daksha Prajapati, and then how his 11,000 sons were delivered by Narad Muni. And Daksha Prajapati, he becomes so angry with Narad Muni that he curses him. At the end, there's a very nice description. If Narad Muni wanted his way, he wanted to preach to his sons and make them brahmacharis like himself. So after preaching to them, why go in front of the person to whom you have offended, at least superficially? You did what you wanted, now you can go out. But specifically, Narad Muni knew that Daksha would be very angry. And somewhere that anger has to be released. So he goes and tells him that, this is what I did to your sons. They're all gone now. They won't come back. Just like yesterday's night. The Bhagavatam gives nice analogies. Yesterday's night has gone to the west. It won't come back anyhow. So just like a night has gone, won't come back at all. Similarly, your sons have gone. You will never be able to see them. And this makes Daksha launch a tirade of attacks. He just left, right, center. He calls him so many names. Asadhu, you are a pretender. Why do you stay among the associates of Lord Hari? You are giving a bad name to Lord Hari himself. And Narad Muni patiently hears all that and leaves. So Shripad Vishwanath Chaturthi Thakur comments, this also is for the ultimate benefit of Daksha Prajapati. That once the steam goes off, like if you have something boiling, you lift the lid and the steam is released. And then everything becomes normal. So Daksha has to become a Vaishnav someday. And this is how Narad Muni has laid the foundation, that at least there is some touch with the Vaishnav. Then Daksha decides to produce only daughters. He, knowing fully well that Narad Muni won't ever come to preach to his daughters. So he begets 60 daughters in the womb of his wife, Sikni. And these daughters are, they are like, they are given to Prajapatis. So, how do we find so many varieties of species in this world? Ultimately, Krishna says, Tasam Brahma Mahad Yonir Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father. But the way in which the production takes place, the procreation takes place, that is entrusted to some very trustworthy, qualified people. They are called Prajapatis. Brahma is called Prajapati, so is Marichi, Kashyapa. So these 60 daughters, they practically animals, hoofed animals without hooves, reptiles, insects, birds, beasts, and their mothers look like human beings. So naturally, for a modern day educated person, you feel like, hey, come on, a woman giving birth to all these kind of different species. Well, the fact is, she is not the cause of it. She is just like a conveyor belt, which is just carrying on something. Prabhupada once said that if you see so many cars, Prabhupada is making a remark, on 22nd Avenue, coming from this end of the road, doesn't mean that they were manufactured at that end and now you're seeing them. They were made somewhere else. Or we can see a train coming from a tunnel. There is no train manufacturing facility in the tunnel. It is made somewhere else, just being made visible before you. So today's tendency is to think that maybe the mountain has something, or maybe the tunnel has something in it, and therefore all these things are coming out. No, it's not like that. At the end of the description, Shukdev Goswami talks about how one of the daughters, Rachana, she procreates demons, and Rachana, the daughter of the Daityas, became the wife of Prajapati Tvashta, and his son was Vishwarup. So, and when the demigods were bereft of their power, at that time, Vishwarup became the Purohit, became the priest. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj says, he inquired from Shukdev Goswami, "O great sage, why did the spiritual master of demigods, Brihaspati, reject the demigods who were his own disciples? What offense did the demigods commit against the spiritual master? Please describe to me this incident." So this is how you have in Srimad Bhagavatam all intelligent inquiries made by King Parikshit. To answer as to why the spiritual master left, he describes the incident of Indra offending Brihaspati. And now the demigods are bereft of their power. They have to regain their power. As a rule, normally the demons would always lose in battle with the demigods. They would never win. The demigods have more sattva guna. Their weapons are better. Their mantras are more powerful. But once in a while it happens that the demons sometimes overpower them. Like we have in sports or in politics. Normally a team has no record of winning. But one day they become the underdogs who unseat the ruling party, or the ruling champion, the sitting champion is ousted. So that's how material life is arranged. It never happens in the spiritual world. Or the spiritual world's manifestation in the material world, like when Krishna brings his own Vrindavan, it never happens that a demon can fully, completely overpower Krishna. Never. So even this is like a good way to understand what it means to be the Supreme Person. So the demigods, they came to Brahma and he chastised them because of your, look at you, all your glorious armor and everything gone. Like some demigods had come with cut limbs. Like normally human beings are not supposed to be very beautiful, although we may have our own criteria. But the demigods are, as a rule, very, very handsome, very beautiful. And therefore, when much is given and when it is taken away, the loss felt is very bitter. So for a demigod to come with cut limbs or bruised body and shameful at having lost, it was a very bitter pill. But they somehow swallowed it. And Brahma said, look, now you have to have some sacrifice where oblations have to be offered. And take this fellow, Vishwarup, although he could be partial to the demons because he is related to them. There is a word for demons called daityas. By the word daitya, it means they are the progeny of Diti or her progeny. Daitya doesn't mean a demon necessarily. Daitya means somebody coming from that line. And Diti is not a demoness. She is the daughter of Daksha. But through her agency, we can say, the demons or the asuras have come. The demigods are not called Adityas because their mother was Aditi. They are called Suras. They are called Devatas. Deva, this word also means brilliant, or Divi, Divi Loka. So that planet, that realm is brilliant because of knowledge, luminous. So Swarga Loka almost seems like the spiritual world to some extent. So therefore, in many other paths, there's a great confusion between the heavens and the kingdom of God. People feel to reach heaven, to ascend to heaven, is the be-all, end-all. No, it's not like that. Especially Srimad Bhagavatam gives us an insider view as to what may happen in the life of a demigod too. The other day, one devotee came to me when we were doing our translation work, and since I am on the same chapter, at least I am appearing comfortable. Otherwise, I would have panicked. But we were discussing the same thing. And he said, how come Indra goes from one bad experience to another? Like we find in the Bhagavatam, later we have Krishna coming to the demigod's realm. Krishna himself. And just a few years ago, Indra had touched his helmet at the lotus feet of Indra at Govardhan. And then Krishna comes and says, I like this Parijat flower. But instead of taking a flower, I'm going to take the whole plant, the whole tree. And he says, no. He says, what do you mean, no? I'm going to take it. But he says, I want it. So how come someone gets this kind of selective memory? Somebody gets this kind of, like, you forget, you remember. How is it possible? There's only one explanation. First of all, Indra's life is very long, very, very long. He's not a baddie, he's not a bad guy completely. He's a responsible person. At the same time, these are the hazards of being Indra. There is so much opulence. There is so much opulence. Like imagine if at a 7-star hotel resort or at a very plush residence, very nicely appointed place, and there is a big book, World Poverty Analysis, and you have the statistics, you have the data, what's happening in Africa, what's happening in Asia, in Thailand, in Dharavi. These are some of the prominent places where there is so much poverty. Would you feel like reading it? Or if you decidedly put some time into understanding that one third of the world's population goes to bed hungry. Now, that's the way the Western world puts it, goes to bed. In India, they might not even have a bed. There is no bed. And there is no sleep because the pangs of hunger keep you awake all the time. But just because of the situation around you, it doesn't register. It just doesn't, you don't feel like, there is no feeling. So similarly, after spending so much time in that realm, even if there is a bad experience, the very next experience completely overpowers you. So, what we are seeing here is not, it's not like Indra's life, it's filled with this kind of encounters. Some of the most prominent ones are taken here. And this particular episode, he offended his spiritual master. His spiritual master left him. He's not a fool. Immediately he gets knowledge as to what happened. Not only gets knowledge what happened, he also knows what's going to happen now. So they lose the battle. They come before Brahma. They agree that this Vishwarup, he incidentally has three heads. One for eating food, one for drinking wine, one for drinking soma. Now again the question, hey, how come he is allowed to drink wine? There is a class of brahmanas, they're not very exalted. The picture that all the brahmanas or rishi munis are having a gala party up there, that's not true. In fact, soma rasa is not exactly like this wine or something. It's a very distinct kind of superior beverage. In the Gita, Krishna mentions Traividya mam somapa putapapa. This beverage may not give you exactly love of God, but it actually can purify you of your material sins. Putapapa. Now suddenly we don't have any beverage in this material world which can reduce your sins practically. It can add a few more, but it cannot reduce. So this could be, well, this could be like a professional requirement that you have to drink soma rasa, you are doing these oblations. Now Brahmaji had already warned the demigods that this fellow could be partial. He could be, because he's related. So today we read, Tasya Deva Helanam. Helan is offense. Like we have in the Nama Seva, we chant the holy name. Nama Helanam, neglectful chanting. So that's Helanam. So he has offended the demigods. Dharma Likam, cheating in religious principles. He's pretending to be the priest of the demigods, but he's secretly acting as the priest of the demons. The demons have not done anything to him. They haven't paid him. He's not a spy or something. But just family ties. That bond. That this is I'm doing for my own people. In fact, one Bhagavad Gita lecture, Prabhupada just takes the word Swajanam, which Arjuna says. Krishna, how can I kill my own people? And Prabhupada says, Swajanam? What is this Swajanam? What makes you think that people behind your back are your Swajanam and people in front of you are your enemies? What causes that? Because the skin connection? You may say blood relations. How long are these blood relations going to last? So, it requires a sadhu to cut these kind of family ties. And Arjuna understands that spiritual life cannot be achieved unless we rise above these ties. Now, we need not think that by insulting our family or by criticizing them, that's the way to cut the ties. No. That could mean just the other side of the same coin. No spiritualist has ever advised a material process to cut material ties. It is always tasya jnanasina, the sword of knowledge. As Radha Gopinath Prabhu yesterday was very nicely pointing out, Krishna gives the sword of knowledge and Lord Balaram gives the bala to hold it. If you have the best sword in the whole army, but if you are too weak to hold it even, a sword doesn't act by itself. You have to hold it and then use it on the enemy. So here we have such an exalted person as Vishwaroop secretly giving something for the demons. And Indra is so afraid. Alakshya tarasa bhitas. Very afraid. Tat shirshani achinad rusha. What to do when you find that in front of you there is an enemy who is worse? By giving oblations to the demons, he's making them strong, and to that extent, the demigods are becoming weak. So, it's just like sometimes we see in some, like what comes to my mind is a Laurel Hardy book where one of the fellows, the skinny one, he does something and that causes a mistake. He tries to solve that. That gives rise to another thing. He tries to solve that as another mistake. And within 3-4 pages, he doesn't know where to start now. What should I start solving now? And many times life seems like that. That because I didn't have money, I took a loan. Now I can't repay the loan. So this fellow is now troubling me. And then he met me and I insulted him. And now he's threatening a lawsuit against me. So I got a lawyer. Now he's charging me more fees. Whom should I pay first? So, this kind of situation is going to rise here. We read today that since Indra didn't want to take any risk, he cut off the three heads of a Brahmana. Now, immediately, you get the sin of Brahma Hatya, which is a big sin. So big, it is so serious that although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions, he could. But that doesn't mean he would. Because many times you have the capacity to do something, but then you find that this may practically ruin me. So he decides to repent and accept the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for one full year. What it says here? Samvatsarante, one samvatsara, one year. The same Indra who is glorified in the Rig Vedas, Shakra, he's called Shakra, Mahakratu, one who is a big performer of sacrifices. Parjanya is a controller of rains. And Indra also means the chief, Sureshwaraha, the Lord of the demigods, Swargadipati. There is a whole litany of hymns, stotras, chandas, describing the glory of Indra, how much knowledge he has. All that was left to the side and he has to suffer reactions of a sin. Previously, when Indra had committed the sin of being attracted to Rishi Gautama's wife, Ahilya, she cursed him. He cursed him that let you're so attached to the woman's body, let your body be filled with women's genitals. And he was so embarrassed. So he said, okay, now I will change it to having 1,000 eyes. He also described as Sahasra Aksha. Of course, in Gaur Leela, we find even this one thing becoming a benediction. Because when Indra saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu, everybody could see Gauranga's beauty with two eyes, but Indra could see with his 1,000 eyes. When Narad Muni starts singing Radhika Raman, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he starts dancing, Indra also joins the chant. He becomes mad with ecstasy. So his life is like the life of a very successful materialist. Very, very successful. You get the best of wine, women, merriment, everything you have. And everything at a price. There is nothing without its price. Why are we, who are supposedly trying to go back to Godhead, supposed to read these kind of narrations where somebody like Indra got this sinful reaction, and now to purify himself, he is distributing the reactions to earth, water, trees and women. So this shows that in this material world, there is a tendency that if there is some more enjoyment, if there is some more enhancement in my status, I can take some reaction, no problem. So the first we read today, in return for King Indra's benediction, that ditches in the earth would be filled automatically, land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a brahmana. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. Bhumi, land, wanted this benediction that when somebody would dig some hole, by some process that the hole should fill up automatically. Holes are seen as a blemish, as a defect, somehow or other. Now we don't know why these four were chosen. Maybe these four accepted. They all had something to take care of. Trees, water, women, they all had something they wanted rectified. So in return for this benediction, that yes, whenever there is a ditch, that ditch would become filled up again, the reaction again comes. And the reaction was, we find deserts on the surface of the earth. So there is no action which doesn't give rise to a reaction. There is no action which doesn't give rise to a reaction. And this is where the Bhagavatam's intelligence or the Bhagavatam's message comes in. Many years ago, Loknath Maharaj was giving a class in Noida, the temple opening, and he cited a story that a fox, because he's so hungry, is searching for food. He comes across a village where there's a farmhouse, and the farmer had just gone to the fields. So he thinks maybe there could be some food inside. And then he sees there is nothing, absolutely nothing to eat, but there is a rafter. There is a pot hanging on the rafters. And immediately thinks maybe this something must be valuable. Otherwise, why is it hung up so high? So with great effort, by trying to hit it again and again and again and touching it, somehow he succeeds in dislodging the pot from that. The pot falls down, but there's a bed below, so it doesn't break completely. Then he sees that it looks like flour, atta, but like dough, sorry, not flour, atta, dough. But doesn't know what to do, whether this is good to eat or... But since I am hungry, I might as well try it. So he puts his mouth into it, only to his horror to find that the whole thing has stuck on his face. And it is foul smelling. So now he's running around the whole room with this thing stuck on his face. He says, what am I supposed to do now? So he bangs the pot against the wall, it breaks off, and there's a big lump on his face. That's not going out. So then he takes his paw, his front paw, and puts it and tries to remove it. And the whole thing is like very sticky, gooey, and he takes it out. Now he has a lump on his front paw. So he decides to use the other paw. Now he has on both paws. So finally, in about in half an hour, he's immobile. His whole body is sticky. He cannot do anything. The word used in the Bhagavad Gita is lipyate. Krishna describes himself that namam karmani limpanti. It describes a free jiva because of knowledge or and devotion as lipyate nasa papena padma patram ivambhasa. I once did this experiment myself at that Mataji's farmhouse at Roha. I actually took a bucket of water, and she has a pond, and there was a lotus leaf, and I emptied the whole bucket on that lotus leaf, and nothing remained. Absolutely nothing remained. So I said, well, the scriptures, they're true. Of course they are true, but if you make these small kind of experiments, so this is how Lord Krishna explains that if our life is like this Padma Patra, then the whole life's events, we meet people, we interact with them, we take decisions, we do so many things in life, no doubt, for that time at least, or you dunk the whole lotus leaf in water. You say, now for 2 hours I'll not leave you. You take it out, it's as if there was no connection with water at all. Yesterday, Rohini Kumar Prabhu was telling me this story. He heard it in a class given by Mahanadi Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was having a meeting with Juhu life members, and it went on for a long time. It was about land, municipal permissions, tax certificates, money, 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 all the time it was only about money. And one Guptaji asked Prabhupada that we know you are a pure devotee, and you say that one should take shelter of a pure devotee, and a pure devotee never forgets Krishna even for half a moment. And look at us, for more than half an hour, 45 minutes or so, we have completely forgotten Krishna. We are only discussing money, money, money. So how do you explain this? So it seems Prabhupada told him to put his ear on his back. And when he put his ear at Prabhupada's, very tightly near Prabhupada's body, he distinctly heard the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Now, not to make Prabhupada into some kind of mystical person or something like that, but this was Prabhupada. And he didn't tell it about himself. When Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, was requested to hold the symposium on Life Comes From Life, and the only thing they were describing is how materialistic science is wrong. And Prabhupada says, this is kirtan. It is meant for the ultimate glorification of Lord Krishna. That is kirtan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had kept a printing press in front of Gandharvika Giridhari. And he said, this is kirtan. The deities know whatever is coming from that machine is glorifying them. So, we can be like the fox. We come in this material world. We don't know who put us in. We don't know how to get out. Yesterday I came with one devotee, and I had my pass, and I said, what about your ticket? He said, I don't purchase tickets anytime. So I said, another one of those. But I said, what if the TC asks you? He says, I tell the TC, when I came in this world, there was no ticket for me. When I'm going out, all these lives I have lived, there was no ticket. So who are you to ask a ticket from me? I thought it quite strange. But I said, does it work? He said, yeah, at least for 2-3 times the TC has not asked me money, although he has caught me. So even devotees have this kind of feeling that that we should be, you know, we are special. Of course, it's wrong in that sense. But it's true in one sense that we come in this world and we get this feeling that I don't feel welcome here. I don't feel at home here. Although we try to make desperate efforts. And in that attempt, we may rise up to the level of Indra. With perfect varnashram execution for many, many lifetimes. Very, very responsible job. With a beautiful body to enjoy all your senses. But this world is a place where there is misery at every step. That every step is not the same for everyone. That's true. It's not the same for everyone. Normally we see Indra's description, we find a person sitting on a throne with dancing girls in front of him and victorious in battle. But here in these 6 canto episodes we find like these are the things which Indra would not like to, would like to forget in a hurry. Like we find some incidents in our lives, we say, oh, I am keeping them, and they are all behind me now. So if misery is there right up to the level of Indra, nobody is exempt. Brahma Samhita says, yastu Indra, Indra Gopam. From Indra to Indra Gop. Indra Gop is a reddish insect. So from Indra, the demigod's chief, to this Indra Gopa, everybody gets the result of his karma. Everyone. But one who dedicates his life to surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna, his karmic reactions are burned away. So later we will read as to how even in the execution of duties, like Indra killed this Brahmana, the reaction is his father, Vishwarupa's father, Tvashta, he becomes angry. Chanakya Pandit says, if you find 2 he-goats, rams, they declare their intention of fighting, they go back, and then they come charging towards each other. That's not going to be the start of a world war, right? It's an insignificant spat between these 2. But then you have someone like Indra doing something to someone, and then his father becomes angry. His anger is not like, I'll see you, dekh lunga. Not like that. He immediately, that whole era, the time which we are reading, is the time of sacrificial fires. Everybody is expert in fire sacrifice. You just chant the mantra and it comes out. So what happens when Tvashta, the father of Vishwarup, seeing his son beheaded before him? Now 1 head gone, you feel so angry. 3 heads gone. He chants some mantras and Shukadeva Goswami describes, just like arrows shoot from a bow in all directions, there arose a demon at that speed. Just to give an understanding of speed at which Dhritarasura is born, he said, just like arrows shooting in all 4 directions, a huge demon appeared. And what was his mandate? What was his command? Kill Indra. So Indra has somehow sorted out the problem with the demigods losing the battle. As he's about to rectify the situation, he gets his sinful reactions, he suffers for 1 year, then he distributes it to others, so it's gone all, and now here's the demon whom he has to contend. That is another big battle, huge battle. But of course, because this demon is not an ordinary demon, he's a pure devotee in fact. And that gives rise to another question from Maharaj Parikshit, as to, hey, how can somebody who is a devotee get the body of a demon. It's not possible. And then Shukadeva Goswami relates the story of Chitraketu, how he became Vritrasur. So we'll stop here. Any comments, corrections? Give the mic back there.
You talked about never will you find a saintly person giving knowledge, a material solution to a material problem, like to detach. And I wondered whether I'd got it in context right, but there are people who come to the temple here and they're such a level of degradation in terms of their addiction, maybe something material like alcohol or drug abuse, and so we interface with those kind of services. So we are we're working with material solutions. So how do you answer that if that's what we would recommend? We can only meet people at a certain level of intelligence, response, and ability in terms of interacting with this type of knowledge. Prabhupada says that.
Okay, I'll make myself clear. On two levels, you can understand this. One is, I meant what I had in my mind was no material, like per se, technique, solution, or knowledge can give us transcendental experience. One is jada, one is inert, and the transcendental experience is Sachidananda. So in that sense, you can't use material expertise in the transcendental realm from that point of view. Now we speak in terms of dovetailing, we speak in terms of using things, but when we use these things, we use the we make help of the Bhagavad Gita where we say, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanohutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Knowing the origin of something, although now it could be in a different form, we use it in the service of its originator. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you say that if people come with material problems, and then we, as a first stage, we suggest some procedures or some methods to help them get relief from that. That was not the context that we should do, and that we see in the lives of great preachers like Narad Muni. He did not tell Prachina Bharishad to immediately stop his sacrifices. He did not tell Dhruva Maharaj to just forget the idea of a kingdom. It came automatically. So what is the difference between others who might be giving, like you mentioned, drugs or alcohol abuse? So what could be the difference between somebody who doesn't have a spiritual basis and he's giving knowledge as to how one should give up alcohol, and maybe a devotee who is counseling someone? So that person is using his materialistic expertise, thinking that this is the only problem. This person has only one problem, and that's alcohol. But devotees don't think like that. Even if somebody doesn't have an alcohol problem, we still say, hey, you have a big problem. And that is forgetfulness of Krishna. So devotees do that, and therefore that is it in a different category.
So thank you very much, especially Maharaj Madhaji. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की श्रील प्रभुपाद की।